Welcome to all of you for coming today on this special day. Every day, every Sunday is a reminder of what God has done for us. And I think in light of growing up in a Christian home is something that should affect us. And I've entitled my message, Thank God for a Godly Mother. And I thought of the song, When Mama Prayed, Heaven Paid Attention. And I thought of that when Jean was talking about the foster son. It's like, you know what? There's something about a mother's prayers, and I think they're still good. My mom has been gone for almost 32 years. I know I've said this before. When she died, she was 61, and I thought she was old. Now I'm getting close to 61, and realize how really young she was. And we don't understand God's ways, for sure not. But the other part of it is just, even as we were studying our Sunday school lesson today, the fact that Jesus came as a light in verse 46 so that we don't have to walk in darkness. That's amazing. And we as Christian brothers and sisters, especially for us who grew up in Christian homes, we take that for granted. We really do. The blessing of the fact that although mom probably wasn't quite perfect, they introduced us to a God who is perfect. And that's the thing I want to be thankful for. And my mind was drawn to Philippians chapter 1, if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 1 for a scripture reading, where Paul says in verse 3, and I realize he's not saying this about his mom, but I think we're going to point it that way just a little bit. It's like, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And I think maybe this year even, just the fact that mom's gone is maybe made more real. With the passing of my dad. I don't know if I ever thought of it that way, just the connection that my dad still had with my mom. I mean, they were a team. And they brought me into the world. And what a blessing to have been placed where I was. So it should cause us who are believers in Jesus to get a little excited about that. And also then I think what Linda shared, the people who did not have a praying mother. And maybe this morning you didn't. I don't know. But if you're a believer, you're a believer because of the grace of God, the grace and mercy of God. God gave you an opportunity. He gave all of us an opportunity. And today is a day of opportunity as well. Philippians 1, I'm going to read the first 11 verses from the New King James Version. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it was right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And Linford brought us to that this morning. He brought our attention to that. That's our purpose in life, is that we are to be living a life that is to the praise and glory of God. And even this morning, as I was just blessed again by Jesus' attitude, where he said, I did not come to bear my own message, although we know he could have, but he came to share the message of him that sent him. And I think all the things that Jesus did were just a huge thing for our own learning, for an example for us, that we could... We'd know the way. We'd know how to live. Well, as I look at this time, I know that the Bible did not ordain Mother's Day, but it is a day. I think the Bible teaches us very much that we are to honor our father and mother. But there's also a verse in that Jesus says that I didn't come to bring peace. That's a hard scripture, isn't it? But there are cases where mothers and sons and daughters are not at peace with each other because of decisions that are made in following Jesus Christ rather than following just their parents. So I want us to be aware of that as well. There are people who deal with that, who almost find it so difficult to make a choice to follow Jesus just because of their own adoration of their own parents. One of the things that we do is we do have adoration for our parents, but I think it's important for us to realize we are never to adore our parents above God. Something for you to ponder. And I think that happens to a lot of people. They don't make a decision because mom and dad, their adoration for their mom and dad is higher than their adoration for God. And I'm not going to get into that. But as I was preparing this, and I thought of just the whole idea of us remembering the blessings of life and some of those things that were shared just from way back. And I look at my own life, and I was trying to, you know, reflect on some of the earliest memories of my mom and just the care that she had for me. One of the things that, as I was studying this, is there's a phrase that caught my attention, was the blessings of a godly mother. As a mother, you are a keeper, in essence, you are a keeper of the future. Mothers are the makers of men. The children that you are nurturing right now will be elders, deacons, song leaders, Bible class teachers, and preachers in the church of the future. The godly mother actually touches tomorrow. And therefore, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And we take those things for granted. I realize that. I remember one of my earliest memories that I can recount of is my mom and dad. We were Amish, and of course, we traveled in a horse and buggy back in the day. And I just remember as a kid coming home, and it was dark out, and I didn't want to walk to the house, so I pretended to sleep. It's a confession. And, you know, mom carried me to the house at 14. No, it wasn't. I was probably 4 or 5 or whatever, but maybe not that old even. But I just, it was one of the memories I have of getting home, and we'd pull into our shed, and she probably knew I wasn't sleeping, but I don't know. But because of the love she had for me, she carried me to the house, at least to the front door. I'm not sure how it all was, but. And then I was my mom's youngest daughter because there was three of us boys. My sister's the oldest, and there's three of us boys. And so I was supposed to be another girl, I think. And so I got to do all the dishwashing and some of those things. And probably still don't like washing dishes, sorry. Sorry, Joyce. And it would take hours to wash dishes. And you'd have to change the water, you know. Because I was looking out the window wishing I was out there. And I remember our huge strawberry patch that, you know, I just thought mom was just a real slave driver. Like, why do we have such a big strawberry patch, you know? But, man, I love strawberries. But just the blessing of then knowing that mom spent time praying for me was huge. And often after I was 16, I remember she would often stay up or try to stay up. That's back in the day when we'd come home at midnight, you know. I just remember a couple times I'd go in and she'd be laying in bed and she still had her glasses on, so I'd take her glasses off and put them on the headboard there. But just those memories have a way of stirring up your emotions, and also the fact that knowing that I had a mom that had a love for me, but also had a love for God and others, and even the whole idea of them making their transition from being Amish and to being Beachy, how that impacted my life probably in a greater degree than I can ever imagine. I'm not saying that people that are Amish don't have that same chance, and yet I think there's something about the whole Rumspringa thing that really influenced my mom and dad to leave the Amish because they wanted something better for us as kids. And so I say thanks, mom and dad, for that. I don't know if I ever really asked. I remember in the latter years, I one of the things I probably regret not talking about with my dad even was just, you know, how did you make that decision to step away with all the pressure from, and some of you know what that's about, realizing that. And yet I think the primary reason was because of his concern for us as children, to give us a better chance. And I realize we still had to make our own choices in life. Just a couple things that I'd like for us to look at this morning is there are certain qualities, definitely, that Christian mothers have that maybe other mothers do not have. Does that make them better mothers? A Christian mother isn't necessarily better than other mothers, but rather she has special seasoning. In other words, because of the fact that a Christian is to be a salt. A Christian is to be the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. And that should have an impact on her training her children and loving her children in the grace of God. So this morning, don't underestimate you as mothers, don't underestimate the power you have in training your children and showing them the way. In other words, in living in the light versus living in darkness. It should cause us to be excited about it and to also be able to share that with other people. Number one quality maybe is possessing a keen sense of discernment. In Proverbs 15:14 says, the discerning heart seeks knowledge. And I trust that as Christian godly parents, you will have godly discernment. You don't have all the answers in life. You don't get that until you're 90 maybe. I'm not sure. But for some reason, we're not born with all the... We don't get an owner's manual for every child we have. They're all a little different. But God can give you discernment. And as a Christian, the primary thing for you to do is you need to continually stay connected to God in order for that discernment to be vital, to be alive. And then number two is persists in prayer. Luke 18 says this, they should always pray and not give up. And I don't know how much I can attribute to my life to my parents praying for me. I know that even my dad in his latter years, he was still praying for me. And I appreciate that. He shared that with me. And the times that we spent, even as family, reading Bible stories and then praying before we went to bed. Demonstrating unconditional love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. A mother who loves God is not afraid to unconditionally love. And we've heard the expression that he's got a face that even a mother, that only a mother could love, or something like that. Maybe that's not a nice phrase, but it's like, but it gives us an idea of moms. They love their kids. They love their children too. I mean, and they fight for them. And then another quality is to cultivate a joyful environment for your family. Cultivate and in your presence is fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. Those who enter into the home of a godly mother sense the presence of joy. Maybe above everything having to be exactly perfect, but just the whole thing of sensing joy or making a joyful environment. And I know that that doesn't always just come automatically, but it's helpful to have that environment. That, what do you run to? You run to your mom. Steadfastness in the Word of God. All who follow His precepts have good understanding, Psalm 111:10. The Christian mother actively engages the Word of God for every problem in the home. And she meditates on the Scriptures regularly, as well as speaking and teaching them to her children. And I think of that in some of the examples that we have of mothers in the Bible. I think of Moses, and I don't know how old he was when he was floating on the river, and then I know that his mom had the privilege of taking care of him. But if you think about the influence that she had in making him aware of who God was, who his God was, even though he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. And that's the power of a praying mom. Another quality, forgives the offenses of others willingly. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. I think probably we've known of situations where someone maybe they're constantly bickering and fighting and chewing offenses. Well, that carries on. That carries over to their children. And it's a a thought-provoking thing for me is like, okay, so do I do that? Do I carry offenses? Am I willing to forgive? Am I quick to forgive? And it's the type of thing that we need to put to practice and allow our children to see that and trust that the Holy Spirit will heal the hurts. There are hurts. I'm not trying to every one of us has gone through things that have hurt us in life. And maybe sometimes we think, well, I have a reason to be upset. But you know what? It's so much better for us to release that hurt and give it to God and allow Him to heal us instead of trying to fix it ourselves. And then another quality is embracing the spirit of contentment. That's a huge thing. Godliness with contentment is great gain, 1 Timothy 6:6. Discontentment in the home or wherever, with her surroundings, with her children, with her husband, can be devastating, and probably causes, if you think about the world we live in, how much that discontentment breeds selfishness, or maybe selfishness breeds discontentment. I'm not sure how it is, but it's like, why is there so much divorce and separation? Often it's because of that whole thing of being discontent. And so the richness of being content in our home is huge. That doesn't mean we never get new things in the home, whatever, but it's like there's got to be some moderation. And so trust in the Lord and allow Him to give you that contentment. Now, the next one is trusts in God. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9:10. So, in every season of life, even in the difficult seasons of life, there needs to be a trust that comes forth. And let's face it, everyone's tempted to just like anyone, to doubt the Lord's hand in our life. And we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. It's like, we don't understand the ways of God. Like, even just the whole point of someone leaving this earth way before we think it's time. How can that be good? But on the other hand, it's like, you know what? Can you imagine? At least we have a hope, a living hope, that God is not only taking care of the one who passed, but He's also taking care of us who are still here. And He gives us a purpose in life. He gives us a hope. And then another quality is He keeps the faith. She keeps the faith. A faithful person will be richly blessed, Proverbs 28:20. Her faith will be mostly tested in her roles of wife and mother. And a godly mother will accept the trying of her faith so she can grow in perseverance. And I see that as people grow older, their faith matures, I believe. And they don't become rattled maybe as easy as younger people. I'm not knocking anybody, but it's like that's part of a sanctification process, is that we grow, we mature in our faith. And adversity often makes our faith grow stronger and allows us to grow in perseverance. And another quality that a mother often has is she brings order to chaos. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Uh-oh, there's Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:27. I'm not preaching a Proverbs 31 message necessarily, but there are a lot of good points in Proverbs 31. The Christian mother is marked for her diligence and resistance to laziness or slothfulness. Her chief concern isn't the perfect home, but rather a healthy home full of love, laughter, and order. And the 11th quality, she holds to what is right. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, Matthew 13:43, hanging on to what is right. And then the last one, is probably as tough as any, is willing to release her children to God. Hope does not disappoint, Romans 5:5. As mothers, I'm not a mother, but there's a tendency for moms and dads to hang on to their children and not allow them to fly, as it were. There is a time when we need to release them and allow them to, in other words, entrust them into God, to go out on their own and to live for themselves. But yeah, as I just reflecting back, the blessing of being raised in a Christian family, in a Christian home, by a mom who loved me, it's awesome. Doesn't make me a Christian, but it sure helps me in directing me into the right way. One of my last memories that I have of my mom is, I think it was they left for Florida on December the 24th or 5th or whatever. And my mom had hemmed up Joyce's dress or something like that for our Christmas banquet or something, young married's Christmas banquet. And so I went to pick it up before they left for Florida. And I'm sure I told her thank you. But, and I don't remember if I gave her a hug or not, but I just remember this is something that just kind of stays cemented in my mind, is her standing there at the entrance on County Road 40 and watching me go out the door and never would I have imagined that was the last time that I would see her alive. So I'm not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip today, but don't take for granted the days you have with your mom. We don't know. We don't know how long we have. Make the best of it. And let her know that you appreciate what she did for her. Or what she did for you, sorry. A couple Sundays ago, there was this phrase on the wall, up here. It said, "Sometimes you will never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory." And I thought of that. It's like, boy, that's really true. You don't know the value of a moment until it's a memory. And that was by Dr. Seuss. One of the phrases my mom used was, "This too shall pass." And I remember that. When there are hard times or whatever, remember, this too shall pass. There's a brighter day coming. Proverbs 6 says this, 20 and 22, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you." And just another couple verses in Colossians chapter 3. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful." That's my goal this morning, is that I'm thankful for what God has given me. By his mercy, only by his mercy and grace, he has given me an opportunity like maybe not many other people. If you think about the whole world, the percentage, we are blessed. Let's count those blessings. Let's not take them for granted. Let's be reminded. And I think that's one thing we do well, even on a day like this, where it's a sign as Mother's Day. Thank God for what He has given you. Let's bow for prayer. God, I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your love and peace that You have bestowed on us freely. And You've given it to the whole world, and yet it looks differently in many cases. Many people do not have the same opportunity that maybe that we have had, and we thank You for that. Thank You, God, for giving us the privilege of growing up in a Christian home and in living in an environment that promoted You. And I pray that You would just help us as Christian moms and dads and grandparents to continue to do the same and to continue to be faithful, that we would pass that vision, that knowledge onto our children and our grandchildren. Give us discernment, God. Give us direction in life. And we just want to give You the honor and glory today for what You have done for us. We thank You and praise You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to just briefly open it up if anyone has anything more to share. I know you had opportunity.